Hi, this is Susie, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in to the St. Peter's Lake Mary podcast. I think that because you've tuned in, you will learn more about the ways of the Lord. At St. Peter's, we believe that we have been called by God to share the joy and love of Jesus Christ. We hope that these next few minutes will captivate your heart and mind by the transforming Word of God. To find out more about St. Peter's Lake Mary, visit us at stpeterslakemary.org.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and be filling us with illumined hearts and minds that we might see your glory reflected in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, manifest in his word, proclaimed in the reading of Scripture. And in the ministry of the preached word, we ask that the preaching of the word might be your word for the sake and glory of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome. I was looking in the bulletin. I know you're not supposed to read the bulletin during your sermons. And I know none of you do that here, right? You never read the bulletin during the sermon. But one of the things that's in the bulletin that just grabbed my attention in this column that says to Father Charlie Brooke, Chase Ashton, and Saxon. And it's got these statistics, 176 baptized, 216 confirmations, 45 weddings, including one this weekend, which I did yesterday, Lamar and Hong's wedding, 65 funerals. And I look at that and I'm just humbled by how many people that represents, and the sacramental acts, and what a privilege and honor it has been for me to walk through these moments and actions with. It's just a guitar; it's not a person. Number one, I think those are pretty good stats. You know, I. But the thing that when I see those numbers, what I am very much mindful of today is that each one of those numbers represents people. People who called the church and asked for a priest to come into their life at some of the most difficult and dark hours. Sometimes in the most joyous of occasions, the birth of a child, the celebration of their wedding, or to walk with them while they've lost a loved one and they grieve the loss of somebody that's died in their life, or they're facing some scary illness. And so I want you to know that to me, those numbers are not just numbers to me. That they are your stories and the stories that we've walked through together. As a philosophy of ministry and a practice of ministry, one of the things that I think about a lot as a priest, actually, is that we are called to be present with people in the most important transitional moments in their life. You know, when God is really just shaking everything up. It's nothing more disruptive to a person than to have a baby. I mean, number one, you can't do all the same things that you used to do. And then they're going to take all the money that you have. There's nothing more difficult than to get the news that you've just been diagnosed with cancer or that your loved one has died. Every transition, whether it's a wedding or a funeral, these moments will contain grief. There's a reason why mothers cry at weddings, because they're losing a reality. And it's so important in those moments to ceremonialize it, to have a service. And our prayer book is filled with all of those sacramental services for those big occasions. And it's important to do that for this reason, because each and every one of those transitional moments can be a moment where you actually either grow stronger in your relationship with God, or you get stuck and you fall away in your relationship. And I've seen it go both ways for a lot of people. You know, where they navigate through a difficult time, and they allow the transition to make their hearts hard, and they close themselves to the Lord. But I've also been blessed to see people amazingly soften their heart towards God in the transition and say, Lord, I need your help. You know, this is new territory for me. And I want you to be with me and to be guiding and leading me through this time. And people draw near to the Lord. And they, in these moments, at times, give their lives to the Lord in ways that are just amazing. And I call them holy moments. As I thought about my last sermon, I changed the scripture because I wanted to, one that I wanted to preach, number one, because it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. So I just wanted to preach from one of my favorite passages in the Bible. But I think it is so good to hear the words from the book of Joshua as the Israelites were about to cross the threshold into a new reality for them. And I really believe that about this church. That this is not the moment where you've been rescued out of Egypt and you're about to go into the wilderness and do 40 years of laps around the wilderness, and it's going to be hard and difficult and challenging. No, that was my tenure here. No, you guys are poised on the threshold of the promised land. That what lies before you is the land filled with milk and honey. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to say it's all just going to be easy. It wasn't easy for the Israelites when they crossed the River Jordan. That's actually when the battle began in earnest. And they really had to contend with all the people that were living in the land that were not supposed to be there. And so the conquest and the fight and the battle was there, and you have that before you, make no mistake. But what lies before you is awesome. And so you're at a transitional moment, and so are we as a family. I'm in Joshua chapter 1, where the Lord is reassuring Joshua with three things, basically. And I started it at chapter 1, verse 5, because I don't want to compare myself to Moses too much, because in verse 2 it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, I'm not dead yet. You know, I don't want to be considered that close to Moses at this point. But the Lord reassures Joshua and the people. He says, just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. You know, the Lord is reassuring you and me and us that His promises will be fulfilled regardless of the leadership that is leading the people of God at any given moment. While the people change, and a lot of people have changed over my 16 years here. And I used to, when I was new in the ministry, I used to think, oh my gosh, we just lost that awesome youth minister. We'll never be able to replace that one. And then the next one was awesome. And even better, things began to happen. And oh no, we'll never be able to replace that children's director or the preschool director or whatever. And while great things happened with each of the people that have been working with me and on staff and the leaders and the lay leaders that have been here, and then they move away and they go to different places, and yet somehow God continues to bless St. Peter's. He continues to be faithful to this group of faithful people. And the reason why is because no matter who the leader is, the promises of God are eternal in nature. And He is faithful to keep His word. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Whether we're talking about Moses or Joshua or the people before Moses, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and then on the other side of Joshua, the judges, and King Saul, and David, and all the kings of Israel, all the way up to Jesus, and then the apostles, and so on. The promises of God have continued to go forward and forward and forward, regardless of who's leading. He is faithful to his people. And he says to you, be strong and courageous in this moment. Moses was awesome, but wait till you meet Joshua. And there is a Joshua that is out there that is going to cross a great threshold. You know, one of the reasons why I think I've wandered in circles a little bit. Do you know that when I met St. Peter's, and I went and visited a lot of people, and I asked him, I said, what's your vision for the church? What do you want to see happen? And almost to a family, they said, we want to see the church on the hill. And by that, what they meant was, we want to get a new sanctuary out there on the front yard. And I thought, wow, these people are really committed to this. And it was actually in my job description. There were four things I was supposed to do: to fix the place up, to hire a youth minister, to expand local outreach, and build the church on the hill. Those were the four things that were my job description and marching orders. And so we started to do all four of those things immediately. And I thought I was Joshua. I thought I was gonna, you know, take him across the promised land. But then I realized I was Moses, because in 2002 and 2003, we initiated a capital campaign, and we hired an architect, and we started to design the sanctuary for out there. And you know, we raised, how much money we've got pledged right now for the new church on the hill? Do you remember? $2.1 million has been pledged to build that out there. And you already have $1 million given in the bank. Okay? That's going to happen. But at that time, guess how much had been pledged? $2 million. And yet, as the leadership looked at it, and we couldn't get the plans down underneath $3 to $3.5 million. We couldn't do it. And there was like $1.5 million mortgage. We could never do that. You know, then you had the crisis in the Episcopal Church and all the stuff that happened, and the leaders had their heads spinning. And all that buildup to get right to across the threshold, it didn't happen. You know, Moses, when he got to the threshold of the Promised Land very early after they left Egypt, and they sent spies into the land, and the spies spied it out, and they came back with a report. It's a great land. It's awesome. There's pomegranates, and it's flowing like milk and honey, like the Lord said, and it's wonderful. And then there were other people that said, yeah, but there were giants in the land. The Amalekites. And you know, compared to those giants, I don't think we can take them. I mean, we look like little grasshoppers compared to them. And Moses fell on his face, and Aaron fell on his face, and the leaders, they said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to cross. And that's what happened in 2003 here. Whether that was a good decision or not, it's what happened. So, you know, this season of the 14 years after that, while there's been some circular movement, there's also been just amazing lessons from the Lord as to what he has for us. We were called to build a family life center, and that family life center has led to thousands of children and youth coming to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have done amazing small group ministries and campaigns that have reached, again, thousands of people for the Lord and for the gospel. And I have often been reminded by the Lord that the church is not the building, but the church is the people. And when the Lord said, on this rock, he said this to our patron, St. Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He was talking about you. He was talking about you. So be strong and courageous, because the promises of God continue to stand. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Only be strong with and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a sermon that I preached where my wife was into the Atkins diet at one time, and so she made me do the Atkins diet. And I don't know if you remember the Atkins diet, but it was all meat all the time. And so there was no fluff. You just ate bacon and meat and all this. Ugh. But I said to the church when I got put on the Atkins diet, I said, we're going on the Atkins diet of God's word. We're not going to have baby milk anymore, but it's going to be all meat all the time. And one of the things that we need to be reassured in the moment of transition is that this is the source of life and the words of hope from our Lord and God. That God has spoken to us through the prophets and apostles, and most importantly, he's spoken to us in these last days through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through the precious and great promises of God as they are found in the pages of the book of the law of Moses and in the New Testament, in the new covenant of God given through the command of Jesus and the apostles, that we come to know God. And so the Lord says to Joshua and the people in this time, he says, this is the heart of the matter. And if you keep this front and center in your life, stay focused on the word of God. Do not depart to the left, which would be the liberals, or to the right, which would be the conservatives. Jesus is neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I hope you know that. But you stay true to King Jesus and what his kingdom is about and what his word has commanded, you will prosper and you will be successful. That's what the promises are from the word of God. Next, he says this. This is the last point, and then I'll stop. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think it's wonderful that here he has three be strong and courageouses here. I mean, that's the point. In times of transition where we're facing a new threshold and we know that there's great things ahead of us, but gosh, there's giants in the land. There's going to be battles that we have to fight. And there's a part of me that, as I think about, where we're going, I don't know anything about Texas. It's really big. I've lived in Florida for 41 years, and I'm only 46 years old. So I'm a Floridian. I'm going to show up with flip-flops, and I imagine that's not what everybody's going to be wearing. Yeah. And I'm going into a new environment and a new place. And there have been times over the last several weeks that I've woken up in the middle of the night and just been worried about stuff and thinking about, I hope this is a smart thing that I'm doing because I'm very comfortable here. But it's not what the Lord would have. And I know that for you that in your good moments, you buck up and you say, we're going forward and we're going to do great things. And the Lord's going to provide the right priest. But other times where the anxiety might be there, well, what are we going to do? Now that we don't have a priest, how what's going to happen? Where is this going to go? And you wonder and you fear. The Lord knows that, that's the dynamic that's going on in our hearts. And this is why he says, I want you to be strong in this moment. And not just strong, but be brave. Be courageous. Because I am with you wherever you go. I love the story of Jesus. You know, he sends his disciples out in the boat. That's what the text says. He sent them in the boat, knowing that they're going to go out into a storm. And he sends them out into the storm, and he waits. You know, he doesn't immediately go to them. He goes up and prays. And it's just another moment where the boat's being swamped, and the waves are going crazy, and it's turmoil and darkness and panic. And all of a sudden, he appears walking on the waters. And at first, they don't recognize him. It's a ghost. I mean, you can feel the fear. They can't even recognize Jesus when they see him. They're even afraid of him. But then they recognize his face. And Peter timidly says, I think that's you. But if it's you, command me to come out on the water with you. And our patron saint, St. Peter, steps out of the boat at the commandment of the Lord, come! And he gets out of the boat and begins to walk on water. You know, one of the things that I have absolutely loved about you in this church is that you are water walkers. You are people that have tremendous faith that will take incredible risks for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have always done that. And I am certain that you will always continue to do that. You have gotten out of the boat more times than I can count during my time here. And that has been recognized not only by me, but as the diocesan representative could testify, by people all over this diocese and even all over this country. When we did the 40 Days of Purpose here and we had three times our members in small groups, I got a personal note from Rick Warren. Isn't that cool? They recognize that you're water walkers. And yet, even for Peter, who's, you know, strong and courageous, always strong and courageous for the Lord, he, in that moment, he's walking in faith, and he turns his eyes just for a moment and starts to recognize, holy cow, what am I doing? And he sees the wind, and he begins to sink. And that's what happens when we're fearful in moments of trial, is we can begin to sink. And Jesus says, Peter, save me, Lord. Peter, reach out your hand. And he reaches out his hand and he lifts him right back up. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, we're spoiled children of God. We really are. I mean, the Lord has continually given us everything that our hearts have ever wanted. And he's so pleased to give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He wants to bless you, and as my wife would say, abundantly with life. And so keep your eyes fixed on Jesus because he's with you. He walks among the lampstand of his church. He's present right here now. And he loves you so much that he gave his life for you in order that he might give you everything. That he might give you the kingdom of God. That you might be co-heirs with him. You know, this is the good news in the gospel. And the Lord would have you be reassured. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed, because I am with you always. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Peter's Lake Mary podcast. To find out more about how to get involved at St. Peter's Lake Mary, visit us online at stpeterslakemary.org. We would love to hear from you. Email us with your questions or thoughts at info@stpeterslakemary.org.